Good morning, and if you are in Southwest Virginia, we are enduring a snowstorm, but we are so thankful. If you love God like we do here at Green Valley Baptist Church, we just want to welcome you this morning to our preaching service. It is an online service this morning, and we are so very thankful that God has provided us with the means to do this. Here at this church, we are in the midst of a 40-day prayer and fasting, and we believe that this storm is nothing more than spiritual warfare, but we will overcome in the mighty name of Jesus Christ our Lord. We are so thankful for the prayers that are being answered, for the lives that are being changed, and this morning we hope that your life will be one of those that will be changed today through the power of God's almighty word. Well, friends, this morning I want you to find your Bible wherever you are. Sit up in your easy chair at home and get your Bible and turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 7 in verse 14 and follow along as we read God's word here. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now I want you to know that the key to healing America is found in this verse. The key to healing our homes, our communities, our counties, our states, and our nation is found in this verse. But a careful study of this verse reveals to us that this is one of God's conditional promises, and it is fair to say that up until now, we in America have not been meeting God's conditions. We've become a nation that is adrift from God because many Christians have chosen not to become planted and grounded in God's truth. Is it any wonder that we find our homes, our communities, our counties, our states, our nation experiencing the consequences of a society seeking to live independently apart from God? I think it'd be fair to say that for a majority of Christians, our hearts and our ears are receptive to ourselves, but not to God. And I'm going to be bold and ask you a question. Who has your ear? Is it God or is it you? Who rules in your life? Who rules in your life really? Would you bow your head with me as we go to the Lord in prayer? Almighty God, as we come to your word today, Father, we are going to discover your truths for our lives and your truth and what you say about our nation. But Lord, I pray, because we're a people, a person in this nation, that we would see our own responsibility before Almighty God, and that, Father, that we would seek to have our lives revived, most especially Christians today. It is time to get serious with God in America. Lord, use this message to encourage us and to spur us onward to become more serious with God now than we've ever been before. Oh, Lord, I pray that you'll take this word and that you will draw us ever nearer to the cross of Jesus Christ. We pray for those who are listening today who may not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that today your word would speak so powerfully that your spirit would go forth and convict their heart and convince them of their need for a Savior. Oh, Lord God, we pray that you would do a mighty work in this service. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Who rules in your life really? The reason we need to ask the question is because it's so easy to drift into Christian life. Are you aware that the only part of God's word that you and I can claim to believe is the part that we obey? Are you a doer of the word or a hearer only, deceiving your own self? Do you willingly receive God's word, or do you argue with it, or do you just ignore it, or are you just outright rebellious toward it? Listen to me. Are you aware? Do you understand that truth is fundamentally God-based knowledge? And the reason we've become so arrogant as a nation and so ignorant as a nation is because we have rejected the truth of God and His Word. And we've turned God's Word into a lie, because truth is God-based knowledge. We must come to God's holy Word. We must come to the Bible. Are you aware that you will rise or fall on what you decide to do with God's holy Word? You see, we must read the Bible to get God's viewpoint and God's guidance for all of our decisions. And you might be asking the question, well, why, Pastor, why? Because truth is comprised of information and facts that includes God's original intent. That's what makes God's truth absolute. God's original intent is what makes God's truth absolute, and the Bible the objective standard by which our reality, our world, and our lives will be measured by. Do you know what the one thing that is that will never pass away? Do you know what that thing is? Well, I'm glad you asked. I will tell you what it is. It is God's Word. God said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. And therefore, God's word must be accepted internally, and it must be acted upon externally. For God has called us to be doers of his word, not hearers only, deceiving our own selves. Now, friend, if you don't accept the Bible internally and you do not act upon it externally, I want to tell you what is going to happen to you. You're going to start to drift. You see, that's just the fact of life based on the truth of God's almighty and holy word. You see, truth has already been predetermined by God. God said, if you will hear his word and not do it, you will deceive yourself. You see, neglect always leads to drifting things spiritual, material, and physical. And when a Christian begins to drift from God, they face a certain danger. And that danger is developing a hard heart toward God. And why? Because when you choose not to receive God's word and do it, you begin to doubt God's word. You begin to think like Eve did in the garden. You begin to think, does God really mean what he says? Now, follow the progression. Whenever we begin to drift from God's word, it won't be long before we begin to doubt God's word, because God has predetermined if we will not hear God's word with a receptive heart, we'll start to develop a hard heart, and a hard heart produces dullness toward God and his word. Again, follow the progression here this morning. Whenever we begin to drift from God, it won't be long before we begin to doubt God's word. And when we begin to doubt God's word, we become dull toward God's word. We don't want to hear it. And you know as well as I do that this has become the attitude of many Christians today. Many have become willful. Many Christians are happy to do what God wants as long as it meets our terms. And when it doesn't, many Christians turn a deaf ear toward God and his word. Why? Because God's predetermined truth is that Christian willfulness leads to a despiteful attitude toward God and his word. How many Christians, and I pray you are not one of them, who are willfully, do you know, who are willfully despising God right now? And God's predetermined truth is this. When we willfully disobey God, God gives us over to ourselves. You see, if our hearts won't listen to God's word, God's predetermined truth is this. We will begin to defy God's word. And again, let's follow the progression. Whenever we begin to drift from God's word, it won't be long before we begin to doubt God's word. And once we begin to doubt God's word, we become dull toward God and his word. And when we are dull toward God and his word, it won't be long before we begin to despise God and his word. And once we begin to despise God's word, it won't be long before we begin to defy God's word. Some Christians even get to the point in their attitude that in their heart of daring God to do something about it. But what they don't realize is that God already has. He has given them up, and he has given them over to a reprobate mind. And only repentance can ever get them back into a right relationship with God. You see, nothing short of repentance will do. This is why God's predetermined truth and conditional promise is this: if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. You see, what we need to understand is that we either play by God's rules or we don't. But you also need to understand that God will let us play, but God doesn't play. As Holy Scriptures testify, God gives us up and God gives us over. And what we have today is a society that is seeking to live apart from God. And so, friends, we are simply getting what we deserve. And I know in my heart, I got to believe in my heart, I know this is not what God wants, and I believe probably not what you want. When it comes to sin, though, we don't get to choose the consequences. And contrary to what many people believe, God does not bless sin. If we want to approach God, we must come to God the way he has predetermined we are to come. And God the Son said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Likewise, if we want to have God's blessing in our homes, in our communities, in our counties, in our states, and our nation, then we're going to have to get serious with God. We're going to have to humble ourselves, repent, and seek his face. Listen, if we want the spiritual healing of God on all that encompasses our life, all that concerns us, we'd better come to grips with the fact that God's predetermined truth, that all problems are spiritual in nature. Let me say that again. God's predetermined truth is this: all problems are spiritual in nature. God has spoken and God has said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And the reason we haven't been able to stand is because we have not believed God. For if we had, we would understand that darkness is just doing what it knows to do. That's why God never said, if Washington, if the LGBTQ community, if Planned Parenthood, if the media, if Wall Street, if Hollywood, if President Biden, if Congress, if the Department of Justice, if the FBI, if the Supreme Court, if lobbyists, if special interest groups, if darkness, if Satan, God said, my people. That means if you've repented of your sin and accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, his free gift of salvation offered through his death and his shed blood on the cross for the forgiveness of your sins, and you have come and you have repented and you have asked Jesus to be your Lord and your Savior, and you have applied the blood of Jesus Christ to your heart, then you are one of his people. But if you haven't, then very simply, you are not one of his people. The good news for you this morning, however, is if you are willing to repent of your sin and to put your faith and trust in the blood-bought cross of Jesus Christ, you can become one of his people. Now, let's take the next phrase here in this verse. If my people who are called by my name. God's predetermined truth is that when we name something, it means we own it. This predetermined truth has its origin in the book of Genesis, Genesis 2, verses 19 to 23. This is what we read. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. To name something is to own it. That's why we name certain things we love with pet names that are meaningful to us. When we name it, we are owning our love and desire for those things. Now watch this. When my parents gave me the last name, Zampona, they were telling the rest of the world I belong to them. And the same goes for all y'all. You see, God's predetermined truth is this. People instinctively want to know who they are, who others are, and where they and others belong. You don't believe me? Then tell me, how did Ancestry.com become so popular? People want to know. And so parents help solve the problem. And solve that dilemma by giving us a name. Well, at conversion, God did the same for us when we repented of our sin and put our faith and trust in him through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. God calls us his sons and daughters and declares we are no longer sinners but saints in the Lord. God simply declares to Satan that we belong to him. And family and friends, if we belong to him, we ought to act like we belong to him, don't you think? Listen to me, there's a big difference between a believer who understands they belong to Jesus Christ and will therefore identify with him and associate themselves with Jesus Christ and God's people versus someone who belongs to some generic God who is not Jesus Christ. And to drive this point home, the complete Jewish Bible translation of the phrase, who are called by my name, is who bear my name. Well, let me ask you, are you bearing his name? Do you belong to him? God's predetermined truth is this, Isaiah 49:16, behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hand. Thy walls are continually before me. What a beautiful picture Isaiah gives of God's constant love, God's care, and God's concern for each one of us as his children. In the same way, owners of livestock brand their animals to tell others who those animals belong to. God spiritually brands his name on our hearts to declare to the world at the time of our conversion that we belong to him. And friend, when you truly belong to Jesus Christ and you truly understand you were bought with a price, you'll start to take spiritual warfare seriously. And you'll begin to understand that spiritual battles can only be fought and won with spiritual weapons. That's why God has said, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Listen to me. If we will do what God has called us to do, God will heal this nation. If you will do what God has called you to do, God will bring healing into your home, into your life, into your family, into your marriage, you name it. God will heal it. But friend, you've got to be willing to do what God has said. If any of God's promises ever failed to come to pass, No, 1,000 times no. What God says, he is able to perform. And because God can, we can be confident that whatever we may be going through right now, whatever that is that seems impossible to us, just remember and live by faith in God's promise that nothing is impossible for him. God has not left us to wallow in this nation. God has not left us to live in fear of the pervading darkness and evil that surrounds us in our times. God is simply patiently waiting on us to meet his conditions so that he can show himself mighty on our behalf. You see, God says if we will, he will. Well, let me close with this morning. Years ago, there was a cartoon character who would come to a chaotic situation, and he would declare, "Have no fear, Underdog is here." Well, saints, we have someone that is far greater than Underdog to help us Christian underdogs in this world today. His name is Mighty. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. Hell cannot stop him, and darkness is no match for his power and his light. That's why the psalmist could write with such confidence, "This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles." Do you believe him? I do. I believe every word that God says. I know I have a God whom I can count on. All I have to do is get my life in line with him and do what he says. And if I'll do what God says, God will do what he says. I believe him. Do you? God says here in this verse, if my people will, I will. If my people will, God will. Friend, if you believe it, it doesn't get any better than that, because God can do anything, and God can heal this nation. God can heal your life. God can bring salvation. God can lift you up out of a miry pit and set your feet on solid ground. God can do anything. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Let us pray. Oh, Father, we thank you for your powerful word to us today. And Father God, we just pray that our hearts have been attuned, that our ears have been opened. Lord, that you have pricked the heart, that you've either convicted us of our sins and our failures, or you have patted us on the back and told us we're doing good in one area, but Lord, in every life there's some place, there's some area where we need to pick it up. And Lord, in America today, we need to humble ourselves. We need to forsake our pride. We need to get on our knees, and we need to pray as David prayed, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Oh, Lord, in this nation today, we need to repent of our sins. We need to put our faith and trust in your word and what you can do. And Lord, today, even despite this snowstorm, even despite the weather, Lord, your word is still going out, hallelujah, to the Lamb of God. Lord, we pray that your word has pricked hearts this morning. And there may be somebody who's listening online right now who has never known his need of a Savior. But this morning, Lord, you've spoken. And Lord, they need to confess to you their sin. They're desiring to put their faith and trust in you right this moment. And if that describes you as you listen online this morning, you simply bow your head right where you are. You get on your knees and you pray this prayer after me. Dear Jesus, forgive me, for I am a sinner. I have served myself. Lord, I deserve death. It's what I've earned. Your word says the wages of sin is death. And Lord, I have to heartily agree. Lord, I am a sinner in need of a Savior. And Lord, I ask you to forgive me of my sins. And I ask you to come into my heart and my Lord. And I ask you to save me today. Dear Jesus, will you save me and be my Lord? Father, all I can do is ask, and I'm trusting that you will hear my prayer, just as that preacher said, and that you will save my sorry soul. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Well, this morning, if you prayed that prayer by faith from the sincerity of your heart, on our screen right now are several ways you can connect with us. And I hope that you will connect with us. We want to put a Bible into your hands. We want to be able to pray for you. We want to be able to help you in your new walk with Christ. And for those saints this morning who right now are praying, who right now are confessing their sins, have confidence in God and in His precious promise that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Friends, saints, brothers and sisters, be excited. God is on His throne. And though this world may seem out of control, you remember this. God is in control, and Jesus Christ is coming soon. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God.